Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, g'day. Welcome. Hi, I'm Osher. This is Better Make It Quick. This is the Quick Wednesday edition of the show called Better Make It Yesterday. Better Than Yesterday. So this is a podcast that's been running since 2013 and it's here to just help to make your day-to-day better than yesterday. That's it. Something you hear on this show. And every show we'll do just that, and we do it by having conversations with people from all walks of life, from all over the world, some of them experts in their field, and each one of those conversations has something in it that makes you go, you know what, that's, I'll try that, or reframe that something, or change direction on something, or look at something differently, and then bang, today, better than it was yesterday. That's it. There's hundreds of interviews, hundreds of episodes. Would love you to go back and check some of them out because it's a quite a wealth of content. There's a lot of really great knowledge, and I'm super grateful for all the guests that have shared their knowledge with us because my life's better for making this show, and I know that people who listen, their life's better for making this show too. And it's always nice to meet people who love the show. I saw a couple of people backstage at the Ursula Carlson gig the other night that dig the pod, and I'm super grateful for that. It's always really, really nice. I'm Osher Ginsberg. If you've never heard the show before, I'm a TV host. I'm a dad. I'm a stepdad. I'm a, what else am I? I'm an office cleaner-upperer. I'm a lending people visiting from out of town work from home kit because they can't get back to their home at the moment and they need to look like they're back at work. And so we quickly make a background that looks like their house so no one at their work knows that they haven't made it back yet. That was fun. That was yesterday. And I'm here three times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Mondays, Wednesdays here with a guest, and Fridays here with you. And on Wednesdays, we like to go back through some of the episodes I was just speaking of to just kind of revisit and have a listen and just remind me and you that, you know what, there's some good stuff back there. Let's go back and check it out. So in 2018, we used a program called Skype to do remote guests a long time ago. Skype, remember that? Dropped out calls, robot voices. And that was the best we had. Anyway, in 2018, I spoke to Dr. Elise Baillieu over Skype. She's in Melbourne. I was in Sydney. Now, Elise is a coach. She's a meditation teacher. She's a social entrepreneur. In 2012, 10 years ago now, Elise founded Mindful in May, which is a campaign that provides mindfulness education, tools, and support to build a sustainable meditation practice in just 1 month. Now, I've talked on this show a lot about meditation. I've had some of the greatest mental health breakthroughs of my life in meditation. In fact, I've had life-saving mental health breakthroughs through meditation. Just the mere act of observing one's thoughts allowed me to realize, oh shit, wow, that's a distortion. Oh, that's a distortion. Wow. Boy, that feels really real when it's happening. And that's the thing that really saved me. But I'll talk about that another time. Elise is very, very passionate about meditation. She originally trained as a doctor and a psychiatrist. So I wanted to know, what was she learning through her work that drew her towards meditation? And what was the science saying?
So I think for me at this conference, hearing Richie Davidson talk about his research and specifically around, there's so much research. There's about 1,000 studies a year coming out on this. Yeah. So it's increasing exponentially. So it's a really rapidly growing field. But just to pull some highlights that really grabbed my attention, I would say, you know, Richie Davidson actually a couple of years ago did some seminal research which showed that actually one day of intensive mindfulness meditation was actually enough to change the genetic expression of inflammatory proteins in the body. And so inflammatory proteins are like what contributes to chronic illnesses of various sorts. So it was one day, it was about 6 to 8 hours of meditation. Now that was sort of sitting, walking. So admittedly, most people may not go and do a full day of meditation, that might seem like extreme for people, but the fact that they showed that that practice could turn down the genetic expression of quite a harmful protein in the body blew my mind.
Okay, so like at a to a point where it was like therapeutically significant?
Well, they were doing blood tests, so they could see these proteins were reduced. But you know, did blood tests at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day. So in terms of clinically significant, I'm not sure. You know, I can't really speak to that in terms of would this be impacting if someone had some kind of illness? Would it be? I don't think it was to that level.
Yeah.
But the point is that it was revealing and opening a window that expands our understanding of how potentially powerful a practice where we use our mind can actually be translated into bodily transformation. And that's really through the fact that meditation is helping settle the nervous system and reducing this chronic fight or flight response that most of us live in, which was not designed to be activated chronically. So if we can, so the practice calms nervous system, reduces this stress response, and this has profoundly beneficial effects on the entire body. So that was one piece of research.
Yeah.
And then another piece that was done by Sarah Lazar, a neuroscientist from Harvard, looked at people who were practicing, they went into a 2-month mindfulness program, which admittedly I think was committing to about 30 minutes of meditation a day. And they had brain scans before and after, and they found that there was a correlation with brain changes, which were that the amygdala, which is the stress center of the brain, actually was reduced in volume over that 2 months. And so the implication there is that you know, what we use, like when we're stressed a lot, the amygdala is going to get a lot of activity and it sort of grows and then it gets better at being stressed. So the reduction in the amygdala volume was associated with also a subjective feeling of less stress. So, and it just shows that there, like when the brain changes in that way, it suggests that that's an indication of enduring change. And another piece in her research was the hippocampus, which is the area of the brain related to memory and learning, which actually gets a real hit when we're chronically stressed. It shrivels and we become more unable to retain things and learn. That part of the brain actually grew in volume. So in other words, like the meditation practice was somehow almost countering, like opposing the effects that chronic stress has on the brain.
Isn't it great the way she described that? Fantastic. Some people struggle with meditation. Because I know personally, I struggled with meditation for a long time because I thought, oh, I can't make my mind quiet. My mind keeps going noisy. That's the problem. Well, I'm reading this really interesting book all about the default mode network, and noisy is what minds do. It's just kind of observing the noise. That's meditation. But no one tells you that because there's this idea of this yogi on a mountaintop with nothing in their mind. And yes, that can be achievable after years of training. I'm talking like, you know, how can someone look like, you know, world fitness model 2024? Well, years of training, right? So how can you make your brain that quiet? Years of training. But you don't need to do that to get the effects. So I asked Dr. Elise, I said, look, is there some way that we can, you know, liken meditation to maybe something else in our lives that we do to make it a bit easier to kind of get the goal of what we're trying to achieve here?
I think that physical exercise is really a very powerful metaphor because, well, in a number of ways. So we all just know and we accept the fact that if we want to be energetic and physically fit, we got to go to the gym, we have to train. And, you know, when you're unfit and you go on that journey, it feels like crap and you get to the gym and you just don't want to be there and you're just grueling through it. And then you keep doing it. And then finally you start to feel really buoyant, energetic. And then you can't imagine not doing physical exercise. It's just a part of your life. The same thing with meditation. I think when people start to do this, the more common experience is that when you're doing it for more extended periods of time, it's very agitating. You get restless because it's a detox process from the hyperstimulation that we're bombarded by. And so you just have to know that, like physical exercise, if you stick with it and push through that initial resistance, then it's going to start to feel really good to the point that you'll reach a point where it's like, I mean, I can't go back because I know what it feels like to have a mind that is calm, focused, clear. And so you might fall off track a couple of times here and there when you're really busy, but it's an integrated knowing. It's a deep knowing that this is feels good and this is good. I've got to get back on track. And also you mentioned about people that sit to meditate and then they have thoughts and they're thinking about their shopping or they're worrying and they feel like they're such bad meditators. I would also bring the analogy of physical exercise into that and say that just like when you're trying to build muscle at the gym, you need like a weight, you need a resistance to push against to actually grow that muscle. With mindfulness, as you're building the muscle for greater focus, it's actually the distraction in your mind that is like the weight. So I call it like the mental dumbbell lift. So it's really great because when you're meditating and you're sitting there, and for those, I'm sure many of your audience do meditate, but for those who might not have, you know, you're concentrating on the breath and then your mind's wandering off. When your mind goes off, instead of like getting really critical and frustrated, you look at it as an opportunity to rewire the brain. So it's like, right, here's a mental dumbbell lift right here, and you let go and you redirect your attention back. So that move is actually what the training's about. So it's not about trying to stop your thoughts because you'll never be able to do that. It's actually about training your mind to bring your attention back to where you're choosing it to be. And in that process, you're rewiring prefrontal cortex towards greater focus and also greater emotional regulation.
That is such a fantastic way to describe it. I think the common misconception is that meditation is hours passed and I didn't know because my brain was like a still forest pool and I was having no thoughts at all. But what you're describing doesn't sound like that at all. What you're describing is that's not meditation. Meditation is the exercise of bringing the thought, the unwilling thought to a willing thought, to bring the wandering to the deliberate. Does that sound right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a really helpful metaphor. I didn't create it. It was through Jack Kornfield, who's a wonderful teacher. He talks about training the puppy, and I love that metaphor. So it's like when you're sitting with your mind, it's like you've got a young, bouncy puppy going all over the place, and each time the mind and the thoughts wander off, you gently bring back that puppy. And it's like, stay, but you don't do it with like a brutality and a self-criticism. Like you do it how you would relate to the puppy, with gentleness and patience. So you're constantly bringing it back.
So you've found this thing. It's starting to make you feel good. And I'm guessing full of youthful exuberance and abundant joy. Like, I have to tell everybody.
Yeah, I have been criticized for being a bit of an evangelist. No, I think... You know, I was in psychiatry and for a while there I was feeling, and I write about this in the book, The Happiness Plan, that I was starting to feel that I was just not on the right path. I knew I wanted to make a difference. I knew I wanted to kind of be in the world of the brain and the mind, but I somehow felt that I wasn't learning enough about how to really help people thrive, not just survive. Like I was helping people go from like the brink of suicide to coming back to life, but I was really wanting to learn how to help people go from life, you know, from surviving to thriving. And so I think what happened was in that discontent or that unsettledness, you know, I was searching, and part of that, the meditation was part of that journey too. And as I went deeper and deeper into it and I went on retreats with some really just extraordinary teachers, and I started to see these teachers and really see people that embodied so much of what I wanted in my life, like they were generous, they were humble, they were just yeah, like people that I would love to be like when I grow up, kind of thing. And so it was a bit of a, I don't know, it was sort of a subtle cumulative effect that just took me, if you know what I mean. And I started this project, this big project, Mindful in May, as a kind of experiment to kind of harness technology, because this was before Facebook had like Facebook ads and all this. So Facebook was like a really open platform, and I saw that there was potential to use that to bring people together in community. So I brought together my passion for sort of technology, creating community, the tools that I'd been learning in mindfulness, and my passion for making a social difference, so the humanitarian side of things. And I just thought, oh, I'm just going to try this out. Literally the idea for Mindful May came to me while I was sitting in meditation, and tried that on the side while I was working in psychiatry. And then it was just this thing where I got there was a responsiveness, there was a need in the world, and it just kept growing and growing until the point where I was sort of living this double life of, you know, psychiatry trainee by day and running this startup by night. And it, like, I remember there was one beginning of 1 year, I felt this real heaviness in my chest. I felt a bit anxious, like something's not feeling right. And I realized it's because I can't do these two things anymore. So it was sort of, I had to make a choice. And the choice led me to what felt most alive and where I felt most passionate. So I dived into Mindful in May full time, and that was it, and haven't sort of looked back.
People talk about meditation as something that has really helped them find happiness, and Dr. Elise Bailiu has some interesting thoughts as to what she believes the key to happiness is. I'm going to say that's going to happen after this little break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thanks for listening. You might have heard an ad break there. There is an ad-free version of this show, by the way. And you can get it if you go to patreon.com/Osher or just search Osher Ginsberg in Patreon. And thanks to those who have supported me there. There are video episodes and ad-free episodes there available for you. Meditation has many, many health benefits. However, it can also help us to be happier in ways that make the world an easier place to live in, not just for us, but for the people around us.
In the terms of happiness and mental health, I think that we're becoming a society where we're so self-absorbed. And I think that one of the keys to happiness is actually turning your attention outwards and actually contribution. There are research studies that show this, you know, that generosity, you know, leads to greater fulfillment. So it was also about putting these two pieces together in this campaign. So it was like, do something good for yourself and dedicate that to something greater than yourself. There's a sense that this also connects to when you start to meditate a lot, you do develop a greater sensitivity to the world, and there is a greater sense of interconnectedness that you experience. And so that naturally ripples to wanting to actually take action to alleviate suffering in the world.
I wonder if that's because we're switching or we're just kind of allowing parts of our brain that used to be very tribal, very aware to our community because we needed our community to survive. I wonder if, like, through meditation, those parts of the brain that have allowed us as a species to thrive are going, oh, right, because you've been staring at Twitter likes or Facebook likes for the last 7 hours. we're over here where, you know, we have to take care of that person because they might need to take care of us one day, you know. Those sorts of things might not get so much attention in our brain.
Yeah, I think that's completely true. I think also that at a fundamental level, we're a species that's wired to be connected. Like, our lives depend on this connection from a very young age. So, and I think that when we've got enough space and we just settle back into ourselves, there's almost like, I think goodness is inherent in us. I'm kind of optimistic, but I feel like goodness is inherent in human beings, and the reason why there's badness is because there's trauma early in life, like things get deranged, you know, but I think the essence is goodness. And I think that when we practice something like meditation, we come back to this goodness in ourselves. And I think that that does naturally ripple outwards.
I don't think we wouldn't have made it past the Renaissance if that wasn't our default mode. We would have slayed each other like completely. If destroying another human was the thing that made us successful to a point, that's great. But at one point, as a species, we went, you know what? It's actually better to not be slaying each other all the time for all of us.
So yeah.
At one point, we collectively decided that. And I still feel like even though shit is hitting the fan at the moment, it always has. It always has. And throughout history, we've always come out on the let's try and help as many people as we can. But that's, you know, I'm feeling fairly optimistic. I've just been to the gym. I've had a protein shake. I'm firing on all cylinders today, Alice. Tell me, just to go back a bit about helping others, we talked a bit about science. Is there any, and I'm just asking this, is there any research around, you know, helping of others as far as your own personal happiness goes?
There is definitely research. I'm forgetting the exact citation, but there's definitely research.
Let me whip out. I can get scholar.google.up if you want.
I think it's Stanford. There was a study that looked at basically if people were offered, you know, $100, $100 voucher to go and shop themselves, or they could take the $100 voucher and do something that would be good for someone else. And then they looked at, you know, the impact of that, and they found that the people that chose to do something good with that money had a longer sustained level of happiness than the people that used the $100 to buy something for themselves. I can try and find the reference for that after the call.
I recall that study, but I guess that's what I'm asking, because that sounds like it's a profound thing. It's a profound thing to know that if you are feeling shitty in your day, you know what you do? You pick up the phone and you call someone that might be feeling worse than you, and just say, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think another interesting thing, so we've been talking about mindfulness meditation, which is more the practice of really training the mind to be more present, focused, and developing self-awareness. But then there's the whole other sort of realm of meditation, which are the meditations that actually cultivate positive qualities inside you. So they're love and kindness meditation, compassion meditation. So these are actually like generative meditations. And I think just to bring these up here, because when you're talking about, you know, the blackness in the world and, you know, how we can sort of make our world a better place, I think the research has shown that some of these practices also lead to pro-social behavior. So, and this is because you're training the mind into more generosity and more compassion. So the rewiring is happening. You're actually affecting how people behave as well.
I really dig this stuff. I do. I'm meditating a lot at the moment. Meditation's a part of the pain management practice that I'm going through. You know, I'm going through some pain stuff at the moment. Listen to previous Friday episodes, I talk about it. And meditation's proven to be very, very helpful, because it is the practice of observing sensation and observing thoughts about sensation. And in observing the sensation and the thoughts about sensation, I have an opportunity to start to make different choices about what those thoughts and those sensations mean. That may seem like a fairy tale, but it is possible. It takes time, but it is a possibility. And it takes work. I do it every day. And over the last month and a half or so, we've had a shift. It's, you know, still ordinary sometimes, but it's a big shift and it's exciting. Meditation is really important in my life. That episode with Dr. Bailey is so good. There's only a few little bits we played you today, but I really hope you can check it out. Go back to ep 226, scroll back to 2018 and you'll find it. And enjoy. I hope you're getting mindful this month in May. Go and check out what Elise Bailey is doing. Go and check out Mindful in May. And just try it out. If you think about meditation as something you never thought about it as before, it's easier, you know. You're not trying to make your mind empty. You're just trying to look at what's happening in there. And that's the first step. And it's fantastic. So thanks heaps for listening. I really appreciate it. You can check out themindfulproject.com. That's where you can find out more about what Elise is doing. Big thanks to Bree Steele, who put this episode together, Andy Ma, who cut it all up, Rachel Barrett, my executive producer, Toa Hyder on the music, you for listening. I'll see you here back on Friday. And thanks heaps. If you need me, send us your email at gmail.com or come find me on Instagram. All right. Until we speak on Friday, sleep well and dream of beautiful things.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.